Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Becker on Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday, ESPN 102.5 The Game, as we watch on ESPN2 right now the 2005 NFL Draft. The Bears just made their pick. I'm sorry, the Bucks just made their pick with Cadillac Williams, and I believe it was that they're either at 4 or 5.
That was 5.
That was 5. So the Titans are next, right?
Yep.
Titans are up next with the 6th pick in the draft, and our next guest remembers that pick because he actually played with that pick. Rocky Boyman, who was also a pick by the Titans a couple years earlier, a linebacker out of Notre Dame, now doing radio in Cincinnati, is on the line with this former Titans linebacker. Rocky, how you doing?
Just a few years ago, I can't believe it was when I was drafted. Wow.
Isn't that hard to believe?
Golly, yeah.
Do you remember who the Titans are getting ready to select in that 05 draft? With the 6th pick?
05. Was it wasn't Ben Troop, was it?
It was a guy that was really quiet in your locker room. Very quiet guy.
And humble, played in the city you're in.
Didn't say much.
Oh, Pac-Man Jones.
Pac-Man Jones, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Adam I could Jones. Tell you stories that would fill your airwaves for hours.
Oh, please.
We've heard
time.
A lot, but I bet you've got more.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Pac was, I mean, he came in and did every wrong thing you're supposed to do as a rookie. And, you know, I think because of some of the things he did early on, we made him pay for it at Fleming's Steakhouse with a very, very large bill. But, you know, as time went on, man, he kind of, you know, earned his stripes a little bit and became one of the guys. And then, you know, I live here in Cincinnati and do sports and Bengals coverage in Cincinnati. He comes and plays for the Bengals. And I don't know, he and I always had a great relationship. I think it was because I didn't take any of his crap. So when he'd be yelling at all of us to block for him on punt return team, I'd tell him to, you know, shove
stick
it somewhere, all that. And I think he respected that because he knew I was going to go out and do my job for him. You know what I mean? So, nevertheless, I think through all the ups and downs and twists and turns of his career, I think it ended up pretty well for him.
Rocky, did he actually remember you being a teammate of his? Because kind of the running joke with the media is when some of the former Titans players were in the media, he didn't know who was who. And I won't name any names, but, you know, he got some guys confused, like Neil O'Donnell and Frank Wycheck and some others. So did he even remember you being a teammate of his?
No, he did. Like I said, he always, like, anytime we'd be in an event, he'd always, like, single me out and come over and we'd talk and all that. For whatever odd reason, we had a good relationship. And I always thought he had a very sweetheart side to him. He just had that demon deep down inside him too. And he had a wick that was about a centimeter long. And if the wrong thing ignited it, he would go off and wouldn't be very good. But there was definitely a sweet side to him. And he and I, for whatever reason, really got along well and liked and respected each other.
Is this a slam dunk tonight? Are they already hashing out the terms? Is this a done deal? The young man who had a historical season at LSU, we watched win a national championship, going to be the next Bengals starting quarterback?
Yes. Every indication I've gotten internally and from, you know, the sources and all that say, I understand the Dolphins were dangling some picks out there, but the Bengals reportedly told them in so many words, no, we're good. And I think it's a excellent call. Now, look, I think you should consider any and all offers. Should some just totally ridiculous offer come out there with, you know, when 5 picks in the first and second round, do you look at that? Yeah, but, A, I hope that doesn't happen because I want the Bengals to take this kid because I think he's really, really good. And ultimately, I don't think that offer is going to be there. Joe Burrow, by about 8:15 tonight, is going to be a Cincinnati Bengal.
Well, I know you do college football stuff. You do stuff on Saturdays and Sundays during the football season, and as we just talked about, also you're hosting a show every day there in Cincinnati, And so I just want to know through your eyes, when you obviously watch a lot of college football, I don't know how much you got to put your eyes on Joe Burrow, but what do you see when you see him?
You know, look, he's got all the traits, and I could rattle them off, but I try to look at a player, especially a quarterback, as, you know, how would I look at him if I was still playing, right? If I was playing linebacker, what quarterbacks did I hate going against? Which ones was I okay going against? You know, I never feared quarterbacks that had super strong arms. I never even really feared, you know, run-first quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks who could anticipate and adapt in a split second were the ones that I really, really feared going into on a Sunday. You know, the ones where you threw a complex blitz or a coverage or some sort of something at them that they hadn't seen all year, or you hadn't even put on tape all year, and they could figure it out. And, you know, you go into the game, you're like, okay, when we throw this coverage out there, boy, this is really going to trick them. And they could just adapt split second and defeat that coverage or defeat that blitz. And you walk back to the huddle like, man, that was our big coverage, and we just got beat. You know, those kind of guys. And I think Joe Burrow has that, you know, skill set in his head where he can anticipate things. He can anticipate the rush, and if, you know, the defense gives him some sort of crazy look, he knows where to go with the football. I think quick decision making, in my opinion, is the be all end all when it comes to quarterback traits, and I think he has that.
Last thing on my end, Rocky, a couple hours up north of your city, a couple of guys that are also projected to go right after Cincinnati's pick. Just want to know what you think of, are these just slam dunk guys? What do you think, two guys on the side of the ball that you played, and Chase Young and that fine cornerback, both of those guys from Ohio State, what do you think of them?
Both, you know, obviously, you know, transcendent players, especially Chase Young. I mean, I remember going up and, you know, watching spring ball up there when he was young, and, you know, he looked like a grown man already. You know what I mean? That kind of player. He's super exceptional. And in the cornerback, you know, in a cornerback in a draft where there's not many top talented guys, you know, Okudah and Henderson is kind of stand near the top, and I think he's one of them. You also got to consider, you know, he played for, you know, Kerry Combs for a bunch of years up at Ohio State, who I think is one of the most respected and best assistant college football coaches in the land. He also obviously played for Urban Meyer and all those coaches they have up there. So you're getting a guy that, you know, loves football, which is always, I tell every talk show I'm on, like when they ask me, what's the number one quality you want in any pick? My number one is always, does the guy love football, not what football brings him? And I think all those guys at Ohio State, I know Urban Meyer recruited guys that loved, slept, eat, and breathed football. That's what they want, and that's what they got in those guys up there.
Talking to former Titan Rocky Boyman, now a radio analyst, of course, a college football analyst at ESPN, working up in Cincinnati. So, Rocky, let's get your story from draft night. You know, we all have these images of, you know, the guy walking up to the podium in the first round. What about for a more of a mid-round guy like you? Where were you? Who was with you? Who called you first?
Yeah, so this was back, guys, if you remember, when the draft was on Saturday and Sunday, and rounds, what, 1 through 3 were on Saturday, and then 4 through 7 were on Sunday there. And I remember this. Some guys are always like, oh, I didn't watch the draft and I went hunting or I went driving around. No, I watched every single stinking damn pick that went before me. And if a linebacker went before me, I cursed everybody in the room, which were my parents. And I remember my mom had a yellow pad and we wrote down every pick as it went on down through the list. And look, you know, you see a linebacker go ahead of you that you think you're better than, it, you know, kind of, you know, rubs you the wrong way a little bit. But, you know, I was sitting in this small house, in a little tiny house in Ross, Ohio. It was just my mom, my dad, and my sister. And then just kind of out of nowhere, you know, the phone rang, and I looked at it, and it was a 615 area code, which at the time I didn't even know what that was. And answer the phone, and I think it was either Floyd Reese or Jeff Fisher. I can't remember because I was so excited. And the voice said, "Hey, Rocky, how you doing? So we're gonna go ahead and pick you here." And I'm pointing to the screen to my parents because they're like, "Who is it? Who is it? Who is it?" And I'm pointing to the TV screen like, "Look, it's about to be announced," like that. And then, guys, I can. My dad is a man's man, right? Tough guy. I've probably seen him cry four or five times in my life, and that was one of them. When wow. I mean, he broke down. He and my mom, you know, on the living room floor there. You know, it was just cool to see because he'd been with me. My parents have been with me my entire life. You know, playing football and helped me and work with me and just to kind of be there with them. And then obviously to get to go to a great organization like Tennessee was something special. One of the top moments of my life, guys.
Did you do a conference call with the media? Did you do any one-on-ones? What was that part of it like last night? Because I know what we do as a matter of routine. You know, we try to catch up with as many of the draft picks as we can in the days after the draft. What was that part like for you?
Yeah, I think it was like the first, you know, just that day it was a lot of, you know, local here in Cincinnati, you know, like, okay, the local kid got drafted, he's going to Tennessee. Then I believe, you know, in the next coming days I talk with, you know, Jim Wyatt and some of the guys on radio. I can't exactly remember, you know, who they were. And, you know, maybe Mike Keith might have been one of them, I'm not sure. But, yeah, started doing the rounds and, you know, it's obviously a, you know, very surreal experience when you're going through something like that as a young kid.
So let's fast forward to today. You're an analyst now. You're doing these radio shows. Has it been mostly draft? How have you tried to get creative while we're in this time?
Yeah, I mean, my show, guys, is really different. I mean, I'm 3 to 6, you know, drive time. It's Yeti and Rocky show. And we do some sports, and obviously we've been covering a lot this week, but we do a lot of non-sports and just human interest and you name it, kind of whatever the big things are talking about and how it relates to everybody. We do a lot of that. Obviously this week, you know, been doing a lot of drafts coverage and just trying to talk to as many local guys and folks that have been there. Obviously I've been there, but we've been discussing that. And I just, you know, kind of throw this out there. One of the interesting things to me tonight in the draft is, I mean, obviously it's the TV numbers are probably going to just break records, right? I think last year there was 6.1 million viewers. That was the largest of all time for any draft. And, you know, there's been no sports. So our star for it, I will say this, and I've been discussing this with listeners this week. I'm wondering the energy level, right? I'm in TV, so I know the thing that makes a great television product is when there's energy, right? Energy in the stands, energy from the fan base. There can be the most exciting football game in the world, and if there's 1,500 people there, no one cares, right? So can the NFL – can ESPN, can everybody involved in that find a way to bring the energy? Is that able to happen when everybody's talking through computers and Zoom and, you know, hiccups and internet feeds and all that? Will we get that visceral feel of the draft? Will we get the pictures and the footage of the guys, you know, crying with their parents and all that? Will it be the same? I don't know. I pray to God that we get that, but I think to me that's one of the most interesting things and something we've been talking about this week here on my show.
We're talking to Rocky Boyman here on Darren Donick and Chase, and so as we know, the first overall pick will be Joe Burrow. That'll be the quarterback of the Bengals. So in your opinion, what does that mean for Andy Dalton?
Well, it's a million-dollar question, and it's something that's been discussed really since mid-last season when the Bengals benched him for about 3 weeks. And right then it was pretty much determined, you know, he wasn't going to be the quarterback of the future. Now, you don't really know, you know, exactly what to believe in terms of what the Bengals were offered in terms of a trade pick and all that sort of stuff. If it was anything, you know, around a second or third pick and or second or third round pick and the Bengals didn't accept that, I think they're absolutely nuts. I mean, look, we live in a world where Rob Gronkowski, I know he's been out of football for a year, but he went for a fourth-round pick, you know. So the Bengals are – and Bengals fans are waiting on two first-round picks to be offered for Andy Dalton or even a second-round pick, even a third-round pick. I think they're kind of crazy. I think the best chance of happening is going to be the Bengals are kind of – have to basically release him. And by doing that, they'll save $17.7 million off their cap. And they'll have some money to work with and sign some guys and all that sort of thing. I hope they get something for him, but I think the reality may be just how the situation has worked out that they may just have to go ahead and release him. I don't see any reason why he should be a Cincinnati Bengal next year. I desire for him to go on to another organization and have a ton of success. He's a great player, great kid, great, you know, all that. I want him to have success. But I think we should start brand new with a new quarterback and a new regime, not the old.
So you, in your mind, you still believe that he could be a starter in this league, whether it's for a year or a couple of years?
Absolutely. I think he certainly could be. And look, here's the other thing, too. Do the Bengals hang on to him? Do they wait, you know, in getting the training camp, and then, you know, God forbid some team, you know, quarterback goes down with an ACL injury and they get real desperate and they got to, you know, make some sort of blockbuster deal? Maybe that happens. But he's certainly a starting caliber quarterback. He's smart. I just think, look, change of scenery is good for all of us sometimes, right? I think we've all been in that scenario situation where it's like, God, we're doing what we can, we're doing well, but, you know, we just need a new fresh start. And I think the Bengals could use a fresh start from Dalton, and Dalton could use a fresh start from them.
So with Burrow going number one overall, right now they don't have any other picks in the first round. So how would you address some of the other needs that the Bengals have? What are some of the other needs that they have?
How long do you got? there's a lot. But it is telling that even with all the – I mean, the Bengals spent $140 million in free agency and got a bunch of good guys, you know, DJ Reader and Von Bell, and especially solidified the defense. But, you know, Vegas is still picking them for six wins. So there's some holes on this roster. I think – is wide receiver a need on this team? No. But I just think, you know, you're drafting – I think a big theme of this draft should be let's get Joe Burrow and make him comfortable and set him up for success. So I think there's going to be a ton of talent in the second and third round, the wide receiver position. I think the Bengals will certainly get somebody there. You could make a case – I could make a case for a tight end. You know, the Notre Dame kid, Cole Kmet, is a good player that I think could fit well. I also think that – you know, offensive line is for the past 4 or 5 years, I guess 3 or 4 years, I should say, been a big detriment to this team. You know, if a Josh Jones, a kid out of Houston, happens to fall, is that something they consider in the second round there? Linebacker is a position the Bengals have overlooked. I think they've drafted two guys in the first or second round in since 2000. I mean, it's they always put off the linebacker position. Ah, we'll get somebody later and later, and usually the later round picks don't work out. I'd love to see him get a Jordan Brooks and consider him. He's my favorite linebacker in the draft. I covered him for ESPN last year. And you know, if he's around there with number 33, I think that's a strong consideration as well.
Rocky, this the last one for me. The biggest thing, in my opinion, with any player, but especially the quarterback, and I know Peyton Manning talked about this with his rookie season and you know, all the losses and interceptions and things like that, is when you've come from a culture of winning so much and you haven't lost a lot, it's learning how to lose and learning how to take that and be able to learn from those losses. In your mind, is that going to be the biggest obstacle for Joe Burrow as he takes over?
I don't think so, because one of the main things I like about Joe Burrow is that he hasn't been – you know, a 3-year starter, had no adversity at all. And this guy was essentially, you know, couldn't make it at Ohio State, or wasn't recruited that, you know, that well, didn't make it Ohio State, and, you know, and kind of had a big chip on his shoulder from there. So I like a guy that's hit a bunch of adversity. And he's going to face a bunch of adversity here in Cincinnati early on. So I think that part about his character is one of the main things I like about him and makes him fit well here in Cincinnati.
The Titans just took Adam Jones, so it is official. Pac-Man is indeed coming to Nashville. By the way, did you bring up Ben Troop at the beginning, Rocky, when I was asking you that? Did you say Ben Troop?
I did. That was maybe 04, right?
Yeah, it was 04. We had him on yesterday. He was really? A second-round pick in 04. He's doing radio down in Georgia, so it's cool to see a lot of the former Titans players doing some radio now. I like that.
Nice. Love it.
Hey, thanks for doing this as always. Always good to catch up with you. Have fun with this draft and continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a great day, all right?
All right, you do the same. That is former Titans linebacker Rocky Boyman. He was drafted in the fourth round in the 2002 draft by one Floyd Reese. He is a college football analyst on ESPN, as you just heard, has a radio show, the Eddie and Rocky Show, from 3 to 6 on WLW there in Cincinnati. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.